So do you remember that scene in The Matrix where Neo, played by Keanu Reeves, can suddenly see the lines of code that make up the matrix in which they live? Well, that's almost how I feel right now. I can almost see these lines of code, and I'm going to try and explain to you what I see, where it comes from, and what it means. If I fail along the way, I apologize. Trust me, though, at least for me, and I hope for some of you, this is exciting stuff. It's like taking a machine apart and seeing how it works, only we're taking our society apart. It's like cultural anthropology. My immersion into this matrix actually started in the fall of 1998. I was feeling a sense of despair about the way the world was going, and I decided it was time for a revolution. So, being the new seminarian that I was, I decided to write a sermon about it. But I knew we didn't need a modern-style revolution, as these were no longer modern times. Instead, I thought we needed a postmodern revolution. Of course, to begin that sermon, I had to immerse myself in postmodernity, and as I did, I became more and more and more depressed. I realized that I didn't want, and I didn't think the world needed a postmodern revolution, but instead that we needed a revolution against postmodernity. Fast forward 15 years, and I now see that revolution in full swing. Have you noticed it? I think the linchpin moment for me was when I saw the zombie love movie, Warm Bodies. What? Okay, bear with me. So to explain this all, we have to take a journey back in time a couple hundred years to deconstruct. That is, to take apart and look at where postmodernity came from. In Western civilization, up until around the 1650s, the church was the primary source of authority, and it imparted ultimate truth that had been revealed to it by God. This is how knowledge came to the people, from God to the church and on down the line. We call this time period the pre-modern era. What we call the modern era began in Western civilization during the Enlightenment, in the early 1600s. Rather than knowledge only being imparted by God, in the modern era, knowledge could also be gained through our senses, such as through scientific observation or through reason and logic. When observation and reason became an important part of discovery, science began to take leaps and bounds. Anything and everything became possible. Power shifted away from the church as governments and universities became the new sources of authority. The modern era was characterized by a belief in onward and upward, the linear progression of humankind, like our opening hymn this morning, forward through the ages in unbroken line. Not surprisingly, the modern era was also characterized by an ultimate optimism. Now, Europe moved toward postmodernity in the very beginning of the 20th century, but in the United States, we seem to hold on to the modern view much longer. Our transition to postmodernity probably began with the Great Depression, but much of modernity still held on. The 60s brought with them an era of hopefulness, a sputtering renewal of modern optimism. The beginning of the civil rights movement was firmly entrenched in this hopeful philosophy. But towards the end of the 60s, people were losing hope. Vietnam came along and became more and more complicated. Then there was the revived threat of nuclear war, more air raid drills, mind-altering drugs, and the sexual revolution, and presto, change-o, counterculture was reborn as the norm. Question authority. It didn't matter if it was scientific, religious, or political. This became the rallying cry of the postmodern era, with its cynicism in direct opposition to the optimism that had been characteristic of the modern period that it had come out of. postmodernity questions everything in search of the ultimate reality. It seeks to deconstruct, to take apart and look deeply at previous authority sources. It believes that the result of modernism, what is new and better, is erroneous, because new and better can only exist in reference to what was. And a total rejection of what was means it cannot be used as a reference. Once you reject the reference point, all becomes universal and relative. Without a reference point, or if each has its own reference point, then all are equal, and all are equally meaningless. Postmodernity showed us that the truth is subjective, that what may be true for one person or one culture is not necessarily true for another. This can render the truth to be a meaningless concept, like the cartoon on your order of service. This can lead to a nihilism and relativism that produced the self-centered cynicism that was so characteristic of culture in the United States back in 1998 when I began this journey. I suspect that the despair that can come out of dwelling too long in this place of meaningless is, in part, what has also led to the flourishing of our consumerist culture. If nothing is meaningful, then we might as well pacify our existential angst with things we can consume. Back in 1998, I could not see the matrix before me like I do a bit now, but I had my suspicions. I knew we were entering a process of change. We were beginning to look around and realize that we were tired of this backlash against optimism and idealism, for it is tiring. Negativism is exhausting. Cynicism will wear you out, and irony, well, it just gets old. And yet we cannot just revert to the blind optimism of the modern era. Our eyes have been opened to the world around us, and it is much bigger and more complex than we ever imagined. We cannot forget what we have seen. Therefore, whatever comes next has to incorporate postmodern elements. Instead of its own era, I suspect that postmodernity is the necessary transition between the modern and whatever comes next, a new era. I don't think postmodernity is dead. Heck, even the characteristics of modernism are not dead. But I do think that postmodernity is dying. So what will be taking its place? What comes next? Well, everyone seems to refer to this new era differently. Neo-modernism, alter-modern, ultra-modern, pseudo-modern, and the ever-helpful post-postmodern. In preparing for this sermon, I read a dizzying amount about all of these things. And the conclusion that I've come to is that this new era may not have a name yet, but it has some defining characteristics. And these include connection, globalization, creativity, knowledge, authenticity, earnestness, and hope. Our reading summed it up beautifully. The modern era was characterized by an either-or paradigm. Something was either true or false, right or wrong. The postmodern paradigm is both and. Sometimes something is right and it's wrong. It all depends on your context and perspective. The paradigm for the new era looks to be along the lines of true, but still. Let me give you some examples that might make these differences easier to understand. In his paper, Whence Hermeneutic Authority, delivered at the 2007 Wheaton Theology Conference, Tony Jones uses his experience of being a baseball umpire to help clarify the different perspectives. He shares that a pre-modern umpire would say, "I call them as they are," appealing to what his senses tell, "I call them as they are," whereas a modern umpire would say, "I call them as I see them," appealing to what his senses tell him. A postmodern umpire, by contrast, would say, "They ain't nothing," till I call him. I would add that the new era umpire might say, they may not be anything until I call them, but I gotta call them like I see them. Or this example in the realm of the religious. Pre-modernity might say, God gives us meaning. Modernity might say, it's up to us to make meaning in the world. Post-modernity might say, the world is meaningless as there is no objective meaning. And the new era might say, there may or may not be any objective meaning, but still we're going to keep looking for it and even creating it. Or how about this one? If you've been to a social justice rally, you've heard the chant, what do we want? Change. When do we want it? Now. This is a very modern perspective, trusting that change is possible to create in the here and now. A postmodern take on the chant might be, what do we want? Respectful discourse. When do we want it? Well, now would be agreeable to me, but I'm interested in your opinion as to what might be a good time, and maybe you have other ideas that you want to bring to the table. I would like to suggest that in the new era we're moving towards, it might sound something more like, what do we want? Change. Through respective discourse. When do we want it? It's already happening. Which brings us back to warm bodies. The desire to create or talk about stories about utopia is a very modern perspective. Similarly, zombie movies are very postmodern. But in this new era, I am seeing a trend. Dystopian stories that acknowledge how messed up things are, but focus on the ability to challenge and ultimately change it. You might think Warm Bodies is your typical postmodern zombie movie. It starts off that way. Society has fallen, and the few humans remaining have staked out a small bit of land, which they defend from zombies and the ultra-zombies called bonies. But then, against all reason and logic, a human and a zombie fall in love. And it turns out love has the capacity to turn zombies back into human beings. The message is that love conquers. This is not a very postmodern message. In fact, it leans toward that modern optimism. But love cannot bring back the bonies, the ultra-zombies. They are too far gone. This is a nod to reality as revealed by post-modernity. And so this movie seems to come out of this, straight out of this new era, embodying traits of both modernity and post-modernity, and also something new. So I think we're moving out of post-modernity into this new era, and each have their own characteristics with their own ways of looking at and understanding the world. Now, this becomes particularly interesting when you look at what it means to how we relate to each other along generational lines. The silent generation was primarily born during the modern era, and their parents were modern era parents. You all tend to have a modern worldview, though it sometimes dips its toe into the postmodern. The boomer generation, however, is almost entirely formed by the postmodern worldview, and yet it held on to its modern optimism. So you all get the civil rights movement, which had both modern and postmodern characteristics. Then Gen X comes along, and we are fully in the postmodern worldview, and boy, do we tend to be cynical about it. Those of you who are millennials probably have parents that were raised during post-modernity, but you were impacted early on in life by increasing globalization, access to the internet, and events such as the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. Most of your lives will be lived in this new era, and so much of your outlook will be shaped by that. Similarly, with the generation born after the millennials, who also don't have a name yet, but I'll call them the post-millennials. And in fact, if we look at the characteristics of the millennials and the post-millennials, we find that they match up beautifully with the characteristics of this new era that is emerging. Y'all are global citizens used to information being at your fingertips. You value authenticity, you're earnest, and you're generally hopeful. You also look at things very differently than do your parents. For instance, the millennials and post-millennials have very different expectations around privacy. And their intrapersonal needs are carried out both online and in person. They have a flexibility that many of the rest of us lack. Also, you of the millennial and post-millennial generation tend to be creators rather than merely consumers. And even that which you do consume, you want to be a part of. Okay, so if that's the primer, then so what? Why does any of this matter? I think that our faith as Unitarian Universalists is custom made for this new era. I think we were really on board with modernity, with its focus on reason. In fact, we could probably be critiqued as having been stuck in the modern era since well before the consolidation in 1961. And we have certainly retained the ideas of onwards and upwards, and an ultimate optimism. But we've learned a lot from postmodernity as well. Our contemporary critiques of oppression and injustice have been deconstructive. Searching for the ultimate reality, they look at multiple layers and points of intersections. And we have always, always questioned authority, even before it was cool. But on the other hand, we never gave up on our search for truth and meaning, never bought into the idea that it was all meaningless. And the idea that love, compassion can even bring a zombie back to life, well, we are known as the love people for our standing on the side of love campaign. And so this new era represents enormous potential for us if we can embrace it and not struggle against it. The challenge now is to move gracefully into this new era. We can do this in part by creating more opportunities for intergenerational conversations. Church is one of the few places where our generations mix and mingle. What if we join together in an unprecedented way to learn from each other and move forward together? Generations of this new era need those of you who are of the silent generation to share your experience of progress marching onwards, to remind them of reason. They need those of you who are boomers to share your optimism. They need us Gen Xers to share our talent for questioning authority and to help them learn how to deconstruct everything around them, much like I have this sermon. And we need you younger generations to share these new forms of connecting, these new ways of finding our way in an increasingly complex world. We need you to demand authenticity from us. And we really need you, some of us in particular, need you to remind us of the importance of hope. When we do this, we will find that we are more easily able to enter into this new era with curiosity and excitement rather than fear. We will be more likely to look at postmodernity as a passing trend between the end of the modern era and the beginning of something new, not as somewhere we're supposed to hang out for too long. And our faith tradition will continue to grow, which may mean moving forward, but it may not. When it comes right down to it and all the evidence is examined, what I believe we see is that postmodernity may not be dead, but it is dying. This is what I can almost see in my matrix-like state. A new era, a new way is emerging that is a unique blend of the ultimate optimism that marked the modern era with the ultimate realism that postmodernity brought. An era of involvement, creativity, connection, authenticity, and hope. It is a way that is bursting with possibility, particularly for us as Unitarian Universalists. May we build it together. Blessed be.